I'm doing my John imitation. Okay, here we go. Welcome to the American Intelligence Media. It's the Mike and Doug Show. I'm Mike, or am I Doug? Oh, I'm Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Doug.
Well, you know, I'm getting a little confused. I've been in quarantine for so long that, you know, I don't know which way is up. But, you know, amazingly, as I've been following the research.
Everybody cut. Okay. You're garbling. So I don't know, no funny stuff, because when you do it, I can't, it's not making sense. Just talk straight. Yeah, both of you straight. Just be serious. Talk right in the microphone, because they say that it has to do with the internet speed right now. I don't believe it, but okay.
Well, I do. I see it every night at home.
Okay. So just straight talk. Wait,
let me turn this gain up. Does this help if I turn this up?
Actually, that does.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4.
See that button? Douglas, gain on the back?
Turning the gain up. Of your mic.
Okay, I got the gain halfway up.
I'll go all the way.
So all halfway. The way. Okay, you don't want it all the way. Okay, that's all the way. It's about it at 2 o'clock.
All the way. That's all the way for me.
Okay.
That's at 3 o'clock.
All right. I'm going to cut out this first minute. Douglas, if you'll start.
This will distort if it's too loud, too high.
Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. I'm Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Doug, you just broke up.
Welcome to the American Intelligence Media. This is the Mike and Doug Show. I'm Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Doug. Great to talk to you today.
Well, I'm so happy to see you and talk with you, because this quarantine is driving me crazy. But I don't know whether you've noticed it, because you've been down in the mines so deep that you went out through the other side to China, came back with some really amazing reconnaissance. But now you are revealing something that I feel a little ashamed I didn't know about, being involved in the NSA, the real roots of how the corporations, along with the Brits, took over American broadcasting through a very interesting character, General Sarnoff. So that's just part of your research. And before that, you were working on David Lieber, the guy who from Harvard got arrested for basically giving nanotechnology to China. So all of those things have meshed together. In today's show, we're going to talk about where that led and what was their vision and why did they do these kind of things. So let's talk about the research. What have you been most recent? I think this morning you came up with more diamonds, I believe, from one of your mine shafts.
We've been following different trails. And after Charles Lieber, the Harvard professor, nanotech Harvard professor, was arrested by the Department of Justice, we started looking into his background. And we're trying to get a handle on who he was, who his family was, where he worked. And the first thing that was apparent is that his biography was fake, because he had way too many accomplishments. He was personally named on like 65 patents, and every biography was a clone of the other. And in no case did he ever talk about his parents. And what we've learned over time with these bad boys is when they don't talk about their parents, there's a reason they don't talk about them. And so it took some of our researchers over a week to finally crack the door on that. And what we discovered was that his father, whose name was Robert I. Lieber, worked for RCA. He was an RCA engineer. And he actually won a David Sarnoff Award for excellence or achievement in engineering. And once we started opening up that Pandora's box, what we discovered is he was a very senior engineer working in satellite missile imagery, radar, and was quite involved in the current Aegis system that manages our entire military system for the Air Force and for Navy and for Army. And his background then went cold again until we discovered his father, Charles's grandfather, who was a Leo Labor, who was a lifelong candy manufacturer, who came from Romania and settled in Philadelphia and had a candy company named Leo Labor Confectioner. And that's what he did his whole life. And so as we started looking at the various documents that are available for the family, the first odd thing that occurred was that it was very clear from the family records that Leo Labor came from Romania, and that it's likely the family had a candy business in Romania, and he came in the late 1800s. Then he was declared in various censuses as being from Romania, Jewish from Romania. And then in the 1930 census, the Romania was crossed out and Russia was actually written in. And it was odd because that's not the kind of thing that a census taker will do if they make that big of a mistake. And so that was just a question mark for a while until we discovered that his father was quite closely associated with RCA and its 40 or 50 year president, David Sarnoff. And that David Sarnoff was a refugee from the area near Minsk in Belarus. So he was Russian also. And so I'm going to cut a long story short here. I think we've concluded that at some point when Robert was getting cleared for his work with RCA and satellite missile imagery, they went back and they cleaned up one of the records where they wanted Robert to come from Russia and not Romania in some of their paperwork. And then as the RCA investigation carried forward, we found actual articles and patents that Robert Lieber was associated with. Now, keep in mind, he was quite accomplished as an engineer for RCA, and yet his son, who was also a scientist, never mentions his father, ever. And what we have concluded is that Robert Lieber was a CIA asset who was working quite closely with the whole RCA, CIA, NSA development after World War II, and they were quite involved in an organization that was promoting what they actually called military-industrial teamwork. And there's a lot of documents out there that show that when President Eisenhower, in his farewell address, warned the country of the emerging military-industrial complex, what he was warning us of was exactly this group associated with David Sarnoff and RCA. And so as we started looking backwards in history with RCA, we discovered it was formed in 1919, right after the end of World War I, and was commercializing Marconi Wireless, which was a British company. And so there we see the British connection to RCA. And as you and I well know, because we've had many talks on this, the 1990s, 1980s was the formation of Serco in Britain, which actually was the former RCA radiophone company in England. And we see Sir Geoffrey Paddy working for General Electric, for RCA, for British Aerospace, and Marconi Wireless, which then they rolled into British Aerospace about 2000. So this association was Serco and therefore Kinetic, which is this organization associated with the Perbright Institute and the coronavirus, starts wrapping all of these associations together in a package that's getting tighter. It doesn't look like there were more than 20 or 30 key players that kept this system quite tight over the years, and we have suffered from this our whole careers, our whole lives, as our parents have as well. But it's not much bigger than that. I mean, Sarnoff died in 1971, and by then he had overseen the development of not only the technology for radio and TV and now the internet, but also the propaganda associations with that, because NBC was a creation of RCA back in Sarnoff's day, and then Sarnoff actually ran NBC. So there is the association between the government, the military, the propaganda world, and pharma, because we see now that in some of Sarnoff, I'm looking right now at one of Sarnoff's early writings. It's an entire broadsheet page. In the old days, those newspapers that they had were quite large, and the headline is "The Next War Will Be Over in a Few Minutes," and it's a interview with Sarnoff, a whole page, very scary looking images of rays coming out of wireless antennae and destroying buildings, destroying planes, knocking down planes, ships, you name it. And you see inside one of these wireless Quonset huts at the bottom of a wireless station, a guy inside pulling the lever. And then in the article, he actually talks about the uses of wireless in war, which include, by the way, use of bacteriological elements in weapons of war that are triggered by wireless. Now, doesn't that sound familiar with what's going on now with somebody just came by with weed whacker. The combination of wireless triggering of nanotechnology from baby Lieber, we call him Charles M. Lieber, and that association of his father with RCA, which is the system that would have been used in the triggering of this coronavirus.
Well, that is beautiful. I'm going to summarize it for people who didn't follow it as clear as you need to get to the next step.
That's
here.
Fine. This is all raw technology. This is all raw information.
Well, what you have is so beautiful. I'm just going to say the same thing you did, but reframe it. And that's that David Sarnoff, General David Sarnoff, who I call a traitor because he was an American general. He was Eisenhower's step and fetch it boy. He was basically the person through the war board and the associations between Britain and America was at the heart of military intelligence. Yes. He became a traitor. He went over to the corporate world, and I call him Electron Man. The reason is because you had quoted that he was saying that the electron is the future. Well, it is the future. It's the future that Nikola Tesla invented and Marconi stole, and then that became RCA, which was created by GE. Now, we have Electron Man there. He goes back a long way. And basically, when you're talking about wireless radio, television, and broadcasting for brainwashing purposes, General David Sarnoff is your man. But in at his time, even before his time, the person we call Daddy Lieber or Robert, we'll call him Robert RCA Lieber, he was one of these cardboard cutout people exactly like Sarnoff, who was given responsibility for all these patents which were stolen. And by the way, these patents were stolen mostly from Nikola Tesla. But you got Robert Lieber, who we call Daddy Lieber, who is basically right. He is a military guy right in the heart of being the person who takes weaponized stolen patents and he gets the credit for it. Well, his son then became the man I call Nano Man, a Harvard professor who basically, again, a cardboard cutout with so many patents, he couldn't have invented all those things. And he turns it all over to China and now he's being prosecuted. So we're watching that very closely. But what that arose, what arose from that was that 5G can be directly connected to nanotechnology. Mm-hmm. Now, 5G is exactly what General David Sarnoff saw in the patents of Nikola Tesla that they stole. He saw that everything that we have is our modern future, right on up to 5G, millivave, microwave, gigawave, a gigawatt, a gigahertz, excuse me, all the frequencies all, from extremely low frequencies all the way to 5G and beyond, all invented by Tesla, all stolen by Marconi. And Marconi was the British cardboard cutout, who was actually Italian, who stole Tesla stuff. And then General Sarnoff, the man I would call the traitor, he brought it to America, and then he becomes the face of RCA. Well, if you are old like me, RCA was it. Mm-hmm. General Electric, RCA, they were everything. They even absorbed the phonograph systems. They were basically everything that was pumped through the air, whether it was radio or whether it was television. So when Sarnoff helped found our NBC, National Broadcasting Corporation, should be called BBC because it's nothing more than an extension of BBC, then it broke off when it got so big into CBS and ABC. So what we're saying is, from the beginning, we are looking at the founding of the military-industrial complex. General Sarnoff is the man, and he brought it into the corporate world, which then became the manipulative broadcasting world, the mainstream media. So if you look closely, you're going to see General Sarnoff was right there when the OSS and the CIA was created out of British sources. He's there with British stolen patents from America. He comes back to America and becomes the hero of the modern age. So I dub him Electron Man, because he said the electron would take over the whole world. And he is the exact archetype of what we have brought to light with the patents of Richard C. Walker in his track patent, the aggressive remote control of everything. Right. They had this idea back in the time of David Sarnoff,
correct,
who this was his plan. He saw it. He bragged about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this this vision. We tend not to think about how sophisticated these people were, but as we have been reading a lot of newspaper articles and books from that era, they had the entire vision of Richard C. Walker back then, and they actually describe it in this article that I'm looking at. And I wish I could find the one section that really encapsulated it. But he was warning the world, and I think trying to scare the world, that this wireless technology could be used to make weapons that could take people out in the millions, not in an average war. He had compared it to World War One, which went on, he says, for 4 years here. That could be over in a few minutes as you zap an entire population with this wireless technology. And just to frame the time frame, he started working for Marconi Wireless USA in 1906 as a copy boy in New York. And so here we have somebody who rose through the ranks within 15 years, became vice president. And many people ask, how did he rise so fast? And I haven't found anybody that actually has an answer to that. But as we've seen with most of these cardboard cutouts, he was just picked out and then had certain skills they needed to push him forward. And one of the big problems they had back then was patents, because there were Germans who were working on this technology. There were other Americans who were working on it, RCA, Westinghouse. And so consolidating all this technology into one place was a big problem for them. And what they had done in Britain, which was easier for them because the queen or the king at that time just instructed it, is they just grabbed all of Tesla's patents and they put them all in Marconi's name. And they made Marconi the cardboard cutout there. But in America, they didn't have that same basket of stolen technologies until Sarnoff came along, and then they started consolidating everything in RCA's name. And they even forced GE to provide all of their wireless related patents to the creation of RCA in 1919. In October of 1919, when they took Marconi private and made it RCA, and then later NBC. And that was at the same time they were forming BBC as well in England. So this behind the scenes unity between the British Marconi and America RCA was total and complete. And there was never a disengagement of the technology of all the wireless stations around the world. So America, by summary, was always in the passenger seat for the development of wireless and technology for the military. That's real clear.
But the thing that is so good that you have brought and your researchers have found is the corporate connection to this, because we know about the war boards. Under the excuse of the war boards, the excuse of propagandizing for any purpose for a particular country in conflict with another country, well, that's perfectly okay. So the war boards and the Tavistock Institute and propaganda became absolutely common for the military. And of course, it was taken up out of corporations like the British East India Company, the Dutch East India Company. And what they did is they made it so good. And because they were so learned in watching how the Venetians handled these banking interests and their banking maneuvers, and then watching how the Vatican controls everything by basically having secret groups of committees that no one even knows who's on the committee. So you can't even find out who's in charge, let alone have any interaction with them, because they've laid out the plan literally, folks, 100 years ago. So this has been going on for so long that it has to be passed on from father to son as a dynasty. So when we talk about Marconi and RCA, well, GE was there. And as you just explained again to me today, GE was the government kind of monopoly money venture capital that was behind RCA. But then they're saying, oh, no. This genius, David Sarnoff, he's behind RCA. No, it was the military. And it was a monopoly, and it involved certain venture capitalists in some cases, but a lot of times that money directly came from the taxpayers. And the British then took it over. So we have Serco, which you have done such a tremendous job on revealing Serco and all the contracts, billions of dollars of contracts. And then Serco absorbed more or less what you'd call the digital age, or the intelligence that then was developed by SI International and SRI and other groups, and just absorbed them into Serco. And Serco has so many contracts that besides your list, no one could even have imagined that the British control so much in America. But the cool thing is the company you just mentioned, another company that we forget has billions of dollars of contracts in the most sensitive areas, in everything, including nanotechnology, 5G, everything military, and everything to do with brainwashing, because that's what this really is. So who's that company? Kinetic. Right. And we've shown how they're even connected to Big Pharma. So this goes right back, as you pointed out, to Jeffrey Patty, which is the Privy Council. And the Queen owns the golden share of this company, to the point of Purbright Institute, which then out of that, we believe Muriel came, Kinetic was certainly doing the work of Purbright Institute. So we get to see that the Queen again holds the golden share, and this goes right back to her. But also just as exciting is what you just found out, that this is all about intelligence. So if you can control the wireless, if you can control the radio or the television, you control the whole world, not only the military, because they rely on the intelligence, you control the narrative. And if you can use that medium, that media, mainstream media, entertainment, wireless, but and sports, and all of the things that we would say are literally the electronic opiate of the masses. That is what General Sarnoff was after. He was not only after complete remote control of everything and even able to kill with radio frequencies, but he wanted to also make everybody happy, give them their entertainment, give them their pornography, give them their sex, and give them their sports, and give them whatever it is that the opiates you can produce. And these opiates through these digital media are more powerful than even drugs. And this has now been demonstrated. So this was not an accidental plan of some geniuses, David Sarnoff or Charles Lieber. No. This is the same old plan where the corporations come in, they take the military secrets that have been stolen for the sake of national security, they privatize it, and they use it to manipulate people to ensconce their power so that they create dynasties of these corporations. And that is what you have been so good at pointing out. And now, today, you come up with yet another thing. You not only have found the founding of the military-industrial complex through General Sarnoff, but you've also found the literal document for the founding of legal black ops. It's yep. really hard to believe they'd actually write it down, but you found the document proving it.
1961. Let me read you from 1926 what he wrote about use of his technology or the technology in war. Now, keep in mind, this is the guy that ran NBC while we grew up. So he was making all the decisions about who talked to us on a daily basis on the media. We know enough today. Now, this was in 1926. We know enough today about the radio control of remote mechanisms, the field of radio teledynamics, to expect that as development proceeds, unmanned airplanes, ships, surface vessels, submarines, and land tanks carrying dangerously destructive explosives, poisonous gases, or disease-breeding bacilli could be armed at the population centers of the enemy and sent to their destinations in shoals. The various forms of destructive radiation have not yet been fully worked out through, although we know that the X-rays and heat rays are extremely injurious in sufficient concentrations. In other words, talking wireless. An investigation of these and perhaps as yet unknown rays, as well as others incendiary or disintegrating agencies, may well lead to the development of an extremely powerful method of warfare. This is the guy that ran NBC. He's the last guy we want running our media.
He sounds like he should be a best friend of Cecil Rhodes, the imperialist who wanted to control the whole world. Why? Because he can and did. And simply, you know, I'm going to experiment on people. Cecil Rhodes and his and Milner and his followers led to the Perbright Institute, led to this type of thinking, led to this type of pharmaceutical biological warfare, led to radio warfare. In other words, what we're telling you folks is from G1, 5G, no, 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, and 5G are all poisonous. They were all planned as a corporate military control mechanism. So when you say David Sarnoff, you say control of the world, and that's exactly what he wanted. Well, that's what the Privy Council wants. We can see this for hundreds of years in the way that the Brits have treated their vassals and their commonwealths, and even now they're treating their own nation. So what we're talking about here is the remote control, or what is called the track patent, T-R-A-C, by Richard C. Walker, the aggressive remote control of people. And they insist that you must have an insert, either a chip or it could be a sensor, but now they're in the form of tattoos. So they can tattoo a chip onto your skin that cannot be removed, which is basically like nano tattooing. And what do they do? It is the very factor that will determine whether or not you can participate in the public or participate at all. And this is one of supposedly the high points on the agenda of coronavirus, the novel coronavirus 19.
One of the patents, he has a number of patents in an area called nanopores. And the one problem they were having as we studied his work is they were having problems getting nanotubes to go into cells and not destroy the cell. And they created something called nanopores, which would essentially insert a little reader through the cell wall and could actually monitor the activity of the cell without destroying the cell. And then it could become a little transmitter that would send that data out to a reader. That technology is working right now, and it's much farther along than I ever thought it was. And they're at the implementation stage.
It's totally. And it can be individually sent to a specific individual that has that tattoo on them. It's called beamforming, 5G beamforming. And beamforming is what I worked on or in the early days as accelerated particle beams, because that's exactly what it is, folks. It's no longer diffuse microwave where you're swimming around in an ocean of this stuff. No, it connects to make sure you have the high speed. It will beam right through your head. And it is an accelerated particle beam, and it will and does create brain cancer, but much worse than that. It completely destroys your entire electrical system in your body. So what we have here is Richard C. Walker, of course, friend of Hillary Clinton, and by the way, so is Tony Fauci, dear friend of Hillary Clinton, and so is Nurse Brixit, or whatever her name is. Those two people representing us during this have received, they have fraudulently helped the Clinton Foundation steal billions of dollars that was supposed to go to AIDS research. And they've done nothing to help in AIDS research. And in 32 years that Fauci has been in that job, when AIDS came on the scene, he has done nothing except to basically use AIDS patients as experimentation. So Richard C. Walker has a picture in his patent of a radio tower, and from it beams out these invisible enemies, these invisible waves. And what do they control? They control planes, cars, motorcycles, pets, humans, yep. All the military, all the buses, all the everything. It controls everything that moves. And what he wants to do, and this then goes into the Internet of Things, is control every single device, control vaccines. It is literally on the patent. They will control you through vaccinations. If you don't have vaccinations, you do not have freedom. This was all written out by Richard C. Walker, who used the archetypal example that General David Sarnoff gave us back in the beginning when he understood that Tesla's patents could lead to where we're at right now, where people in Wuhan, China are knocking down 5G towers. People all over the world are burning them up and knocking them down. Because why? They notice that everything living dies around them. Well, that's exactly what you just read as the prediction of General Sarnoff in this power that the man I call Electron Man thought that he had. And boy, he sure did, because our lifetime when we were young was based upon the military patents that were stolen, weaponized, and turned into broadcasting brain control by people like Sarnoff and people who followed in his footsteps. So when you say NBC, ABC, CNN, when you say any broadcasting agency, you are talking about a weaponized, right, militarized psyops that uses a company called ISIS Management out of Britain that uses a thing called Avid that creates most of the news now. Most of the news that is read comes from one source, comes from the Brits to this very day, ISIS Management, and is following the plan of the Empire Press Union, which was to use all media for control of human beings so that, why? You can have economic manipulation of the entire globe.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I need to point out that we have definitely confirmed that Sarnoff was a member of the Pilgrim Society. He wasn't a founding member because he was too young, but he knew all of the, he started with Marconi in 1906, and the Pilgrim started in 1902 in England, in 1903 in the US, in New York. And the interesting thing is we find some 1970 congressional records where they're actually confirming his membership in the Pilgrims. And as we know now, that is the organizing body for everything we're talking about in our belief and hard facts. But one of the things that we started looking at with the Pilgrims and how Sarnoff was related to them was looking at his activity in the early days as RCA, before RCA was created, and how they pushed him forward as a 22-year-old radio operator. And the legend goes that he was in the wireless radio tower in New York in the Wanamaker department store and received the first reports of the sinking of the Titanic. And overnight, his name as a radio operator was used in all the press all over the world, and that made him a household name in one day. And it was related to the sinking of the Titanic, as many are starting to say may have been one of those other false flags that we never heard the true story about.
But that wireless can propagate any propaganda they want, and everyone will believe it, because they could not believe in my age, when I was young, when you were young, if it came over the radio, if it was on television, it was true, period.
Yeah.
You didn't ever question anything like that. So when they realized the power that they had, what was the first picture that they sent?
Oh, yes.
And who was it of?
Yes, the first radiograph that they sent from London to New York, and this would have been Sarnoff's decision, who the subject was the participants in the Pilgrim Society dinner in London, and was published in the New York Times. So there's an obvious association with the Pilgrims, and it goes much deeper, because we've got all of the key players at the same time as him, with Milner, with all the people. Now, here's another interesting thing that came up, is we've all heard of this Professor Quigley, who's talked a lot about secret societies. He was a Harvard professor and wrote a book on it, and I think was one of the early people that wrote in detail about the Council on Foreign Relations. And what I've noticed over the last 10 years since we've been looking at this is that everyone is focused on the Council on Foreign Relations as the key driver of this deep state. And the Quigley document came up, and as we have disclosed, the 1909 Imperial Press Conference, where British MI5, MI6, and GCHQ were created by the Pilgrim Society. There's a one-to-one correlation between the founders of the Pilgrims and the organization of that 1909 conference. And when we went to Quigley's book, it has a lot of useful facts in it. But when we looked up anything related to the Imperial Press Conference of 1909, he was silent. Nothing. And we looked at it in many ways to study. He skips right over that history. And so by doing that, he then went into a detailed discussion of the Council on Foreign Relations. But I've never seen anything other than they were an extension of the Pilgrims group, the Round Table, extension of the Round Table, but the Round Table was controlled by the Pilgrim Society. And so any discussion today of the Council on Foreign Relations is talking at the tactical level, not the strategic level. And all of the research that we are coming up with says that the real controllers of these decisions that we're all suffering from is the Pilgrim Society from Great Britain and the United States. And there's no question in my mind now.
Oh, absolutely. British imperialism that became Anglo-American imperialism, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, all the wars in the modern age. And what was it? British fake propaganda to simply continue what in the Empire Press Union started. Now, the Empire Press Union, amazing. These people come out and they even print a book saying, we're going to be lying, sneaking, undermining spies.
And they said it's their job to create public opinion. They believed that. And it was their solemn duty.
All these press people, these pressmen, these newspapermen, these pressmen, these wireless people, they all made a huge commitment to go out there and to basically propagate whatever they're told, lies or otherwise. And then whatever they listen and hear, the truth must be reported back through the Empire Press Union straight to a member of parliament. But that isn't really who ran it. This is a corporate interest ran out of the Privy Council by the Queen. And the Queen's business can't even be looked at by anyone in England whatsoever. It's illegal. So what we have here is this beautiful example. The Empire Press Union and their meetings were an open statement that the British planned their white supremacy hegemony of the world and exactly how they would do it, that through the media, through lying, through pharmaceuticals, through manipulation of cultures of people. And so you have discovered the creation of the National Reconnaissance Office, which is the home of black ops in America. And it was from the beginning ran by Alan Dulles, the very man who's who was part of the Rockefeller group that was involved in the inquiry. And the inquiry became the National, the Council on Foreign Relations, which is an extension, of course, as you say, for the Roundtable and the Royal Institute of International Affairs. So what we have here is open spying that they're so proud of, that they're manipulating people so effectively that nothing seems to be able to touch them. They are completely immune. But with Alan Dulles, you have a Rockefeller lawyer who then became the head of the CIA, who was fired by Kennedy, JFK, and he refused to leave the office. And a few months later, he's the one who planned the death of JFK. And then he led the Warren Commission to say the lies that the Warren Commission brought forward. So that's the black ops creation that you have now found the exact moment of creation, as well as you have found the exact moment of creation of the military-industrial complex through General Sarnoff.
You know, that 61 document you have with Dulles and McNamara, I'm not sure when he was fired, but maybe this precipitated the firing, because they're setting up a private CIA-run National Reconnaissance Office in that document.
Without a doubt, because the National Reconnaissance Office were the people who were involved in the death of JFK, and one of their top agents was George H.W. Bush, and he had Zapata Oil and all the offshore oil rigs. They weren't pulling up any oil. Those were CIA listening stations all around Cuba, and that is how the Bay of Pigs was actually conducted, because this black ops group through Alan Dulles and the CIA was using operatives like George H.W. Bush. That's the reason he became the head of the CIA with supposedly no experience. No, he had been in the CIA all that time. So thank you again for discovering the source of these things, because we all have heard the conspiracies. We've all heard the rumors. We all kind of know that many of these things are true, but until you have it in front of your eyes, it really doesn't fully disgust you as it should. And so thank you for bringing to light these vermin, this scum that has grown on the top of America's Republic. And again, we bring these people to light so that we can, in fact, through consciousness, change what's happening in today's world. This has not gone away, folks. This is happening right now. And if you are aware of it, you can antidote it for yourself, as well as you can share this truth with others.
Well, Douglas, thank you for the kudos. And as usual, I need to thank a lot of people who are involved in this that stay behind the scenes. But this is exciting, because you can't fix a problem till you know what it is. And for example, this Quigley issue, you can't, if you're focused on the Council on Foreign Relations, then you're not focused on the people that are driving this. That's focusing on some of the grunts. But the Pilgrim Society in London first, New York second, is clearly the driver here.
Yes, and you and your researchers, the hundreds of them, all the people and all of the team with Betsy and the conclave and all that, we have all worked together for one beautiful thing, and that's to find that this isn't the grunts we're after. We went straight to the top, and we found out what the Queen has in her purse, the golden shares of the biggest military-industrial complexes in the world.